Well, there's a story about an English bishop many years ago who was visiting all of the parishes in his diocese, and he was preaching on evangelism and mission. And after one such sermon, he was greeted in the narthex by a very prim and proper woman, a matriarch of the parish. And she shook his hand, and she said, "My dear bishop, we certainly do appreciate you coming out here and being with us today. Your sermon was very good, and I'm sure it has been well received in many places where you have preached it. However, I will have you know, in this particular parish, everyone who ought to be Anglican is already Anglican." And while this story hopefully makes us chuckle, there is unfortunately quite a bit of truth to it. For many in the mainline American church today, that biblical call to mission has been all but lost. 100 years ago, it was assumed that the United States had been officially won for Christ. And so the American church turned her attention overseas, to places like Africa and Asia. And while that was certainly not a bad thing, we can't forget that mission is something that we don't have to do thousands of miles away. As we continue to transition into a post-Christian world, especially here in the United States, it's imperative for us to understand that the mission field today is our own backyard. And by virtue of our baptisms, each one of us has been commissioned as a missionary for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, our reading from Luke today starts with Jesus sending teams of two out into the surrounding villages to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And the instructions that he gives to them as he sends them out may seem somewhat strange, but they're firmly rooted in practical evangelism. This morning, I'd like to take a look at these instructions and explore how they ought to inform our own sense of mission here at Christ the King. But before we get into Jesus' instructions, I want to point out that Jesus sends 72 missionaries out ahead of him in verse 1. Now, this may seem like an extraneous detail, but Luke includes no extraneous details. Everything is important. Now, some have suggested that Luke here is actually hearkening back to Numbers chapter 11, when Moses appoints 70 men to assist him in leading the people of Israel. Of course, we might also remember that although 70 men were appointed by Moses, Eldad and Medab were back in the camp, and they too prophesied. And so that made the final number of those who were commissioned to help Moses 72. Now, just as Moses was not expected to do all of the work of leading Israel by himself, Jesus is commissioning others to assist him in bringing his kingdom message to the people. This is a good reminder to us that the work of evangelism is one that must be done by the congregation of the faithful. Now, often when parishes are looking to call a new rector, they will say something like, "We want a rector who is going to bring people in and grow our church." And while I've seen rectors single-handedly destroy churches, the work of growing a church is not a one-person job. And if your expectation in calling me is to sit back and watch while I miraculously bring all these people into the church, we are all going to be sorely disappointed. I know that we all want to see growth and new people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But it's never going to happen unless we are all willing to step up in the power of the Holy Spirit and make it happen. Well, now let's take a look at how the Lord calls us to do this. Jesus' first instruction comes in verse 4 when he says, "Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." There's this sense of urgency in what he is calling the people to do. There's no time to waste. He's telling them, don't wait until you're ready. Just go. Imagine if you got a call one day from a friend who said, "I'm at the airport. I'm on a private jet. The engines are running, and I'm about to leave for a week-long, all-expenses-paid trip to Bora Bora. We have one seat left. How quickly can you get here?" Now, I know for me, I am a planner. I like to be prepared. And so my first thought would be, oh my gosh, I've got to get ready for this trip. I have to pack a suitcase. I've got to hold the mail. I need to get someone to cover for me at work. I need to find someone who can water the plants. I probably need a new bathing suit, and on and on and on. But if I try and do all of that stuff, that plane is going to leave without me. And so that preparation is worthless. So I can't ignore the urgency of that request. And I think we can take this same sort of attitude in our approach to evangelism. We keep thinking, well, I'll do it when I'm ready. But first, I need to take this class, or participate in this program, or read this book, or join this group, or whatever our excuses. There's always something else that needs to be done. But Jesus wants us to approach mission with a sense of urgency, because if we wait until we're ready, if we wait until the time is right, then by then it may be too late. And there is much more at stake here than a trip to Bora Bora. It is literally a matter of life and death. And my friends, there are dying people all around us who desperately need to hear the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. You don't need to wait until you're ready, because the Holy Spirit has promised to empower you for this work. So don't delay. Start today. Next, Jesus tells the people, whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Jesus is calling them to build authentic relationships with the people they are going out to. At its core, evangelism is not so much about information or some fancy program developed by people you've never met in some place far away. Evangelism is based in relationship. It's based in intimacy. It's not meant to be done from a distance. When I was a youth minister, I used to take my kids on mission trips every summer. One year we went to Belize, and as happens when you go south of the border, one of my teens wound up getting sick, and so one of our adult leaders had to go and find medicine for her. And she got to talking to her cab drivers. They drove around Belize City from pharmacy to pharmacy, and the cab driver was amazed when he found out where we were staying. He said, so often when American Christians come to Belize, they stay in the 5-star resorts, and they basically take a vacation while maybe going out for a couple hours and helping out here or there. But we were staying in a local church. We were sleeping on the floor, and there were holes in that floor. We were eating their food. We entered into life with the people that we were serving, and it really impressed that cab driver. It showed him that we weren't just there for vacation, that we cared about the people and not just ourselves. It showed him that we wanted to get to know them intimately because we cared about them as people. Now, if we're going to reach people for Christ, we need to be ready and willing to enter into life with them. And I hate to say it, but it's really hard to enter into life with people over a computer screen. Now, I am certainly thankful that we had things like Zoom during COVID to keep us connected. But what started as a necessity has, in many ways in the church, become simply a convenience. And while I'm not planning to discontinue any of our current Zoom offerings at this time, I'm also not planning to add any additional ones. Going forward, we're going to be doing more and more things in person, face to face. We're going to start looking for ways to reach out to our neighborhood, to become a kind of community hub. But to do that, we have to be present with our neighbors. We're hoping to reinstitute our Friday fish fry this Lent. And I would love to offer some community movie nights in our parking lot this spring and summer. But the bottom line is, if we want to reach our community, we need to get out into our community. This is why Lisa and I bought a house less than a mile from here. I want Christ the King to be more than just in Poway. I want this church to be part of Poway. Well, finally, Jesus tells those he is sending out the three fundamental tasks of missionary work. He tells them to create community, to care for the needs of the people, and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. In verse 8, Jesus tells them, when you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Now, in Jesus' day, to eat with someone meant that you had fellowship with them, that you were a part of their community. And even still today, there's something about sharing a meal with another person that draws you closer together into relationship. However, in the first century, Jews typically did not eat with non-Jews. And it was, and partly this was as a way for them to avoid eating something that was unclean or that had been sacrificed to an idol. But Jesus is essentially telling them to worry more about building relationships through table fellowship than maintaining the Jewish kosher laws. As we begin to reach out to our neighborhood and the Poway community, we need to make sure that we prioritize building relationships with those around us. Next, Jesus tells them, heal the sick. We cannot neglect the physical needs of those around us. After all, it can be really hard for someone to hear the good news of Jesus' call if they're hungry, sick, or in need of shelter. Now, oftentimes when we send missionaries to foreign places like Africa or the Middle East, they will start by addressing a physical need of the community, such as clean drinking water, medical care, or education. And as a result, they're then able to build trust in that community with the people, and from that relationship, the gospel can be proclaimed. Now, for Christ the King, this means that we need to find out what the needs are in our neighborhood. And perhaps there's a need for tutoring or ESL classes. Maybe there are homebound people around us that need help with shopping and yard work. Or it could be that there's a desire for community events that will help draw people in this neighborhood closer together. As a church, we are uniquely positioned to start addressing some of these needs, but first we need to find out what they are and how we might help. Now finally, Jesus tells those he is sending out to proclaim to the people, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now far too many churches are great at those first two things, building relationships and meeting needs, but they fall short in proclaiming the good news. Let us never be timid about sharing the hope that we have in Christ. It is truly good news for a dying world, and thus we should proclaim it boldly with love to those that we serve. Well, after I graduated from seminary, I spent 3 years serving as the curate of a church in Boulder, Colorado. And one night at a vestry meeting, we were talking about mission and growth, as we often did. And one of our vestry members said, "You know, we talk a lot about things we can do to grow the church, but there are a lot of us here who don't want to grow. There are a lot of us here who are more than happy with the way things are, and we don't want a bunch of new people coming in here and messing things up." So I quit. Because, my friends, a church that exists for the sake of its own members is a dying church. Jesus has not called us to be an exclusive club or to simply be complacent with the status quo. If we are to fulfill Jesus' call, the church must always exist for the sake of people who are not yet here. After all, the Anglican way of being Christian is not a possession that we are to protect, but rather it is a treasure that is meant to be shared. Today I am being installed as your new rector, but today is also a commissioning for all of you as missionaries to Poway, Rancho Penasquitos, Rancho Bernardo, Ramona, Escondido, and beyond. So be present in your community. Build relationships and meet the needs of the people around you and proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, I know we all agree with these things, but it's one thing to agree, it's another thing to do them. And so what I want to do going forward is during the service each week, I want to leave room for testimonies for how you have done these things in the previous week. So I don't want to hear a silent congregation of everyone staring at their feet. I want examples. I want to hear how we are being missionaries. And don't delay, because the kingdom of God is truly at hand. But when we do these things, when we actually carry them out and go into the world and act as missionaries, the Holy Spirit will certainly use us to do amazing things. And I can't wait to see what happens. Thanks be to God. Amen.